1 Corinthians chapter 7. I'm going to read starting in verse 25 on down to the end of the chapter. We'll try to finish this chapter tonight, give you an overview of it. May not go as deeply into some of it as we have previously, but I want to get through chapter 7 and so we can move forward. So 1 Corinthians chapter 7, let's all stand please for the reading of God's word. Verse number 25, 1 Corinthians 7, 25. Now concerning virgins, I have no commandment of the Lord, yet I give my judgment as one that hath obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful. I suppose therefore that this is good for the present distress. I say that it is good for a man so to be. Art thou bound unto a wife? Seek not to be loosed. Art thou loosed from a wife? Seek not a wife. But and if thou marry, thou hast not sinned, and if a virgin marry, she hath not sinned. Nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh, but I spare you. But this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none, and they that weep as though they wept not, and they that rejoice as though they rejoiced not, and they that buy as though they possessed not, and they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away. But I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belongeth to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. There's a difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and spirit. But she that is married careth for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. This I speak for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is comely, and that ye may attend unto the Lord, upon the Lord without distraction. But if any man think that he behaveth himself uncomely towards his virgin, if she pass the flower of her age and need so require, let him do what he will. He sinneth not, let them marry. Nevertheless, he that standeth steadfast in his heart, having no necessity, but hath power over his own will, and hath so decreed in his heart that he will keep his virgin, doeth well. So then he that giveth her in marriage doeth well, and he that giveth her not in marriage doeth better. The wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth, but if her husband be dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will, only in the Lord. But she is happier if she so abide after my judgment, and I think also that I have the Spirit of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for these portions of Scripture, Lord, for this instruction. I would ask, Lord, that you would help us as we examine this. I break it down into the groups that are being addressed, the admonition and advice and instruction and commandments that are given to each one. I pray, Lord, that you would guide our thinking. Help us, Lord, to be sensitive to the Bible and the lines, the parameters it lays down. Lord, I think of what the world has created. It's a mess. And Lord, we need to get back to the Bible and understand what God expects in this matter of marriage. And we need to respect your principles. Once again, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Now, I'm going to start out, because it's been a little bit of a while since we have been here on a Wednesday night dealing with 1 Corinthians. So I'm going to go back and I'm going to just give you an overview of the chapter. We're going to teach down through these verses. And I'm going to break them into segments and tell you who is being addressed and what is being said. And then at the end, I think we'll go back over there and summarize all of the instruction that's been given to each group. And then after that, we'll pray, have a short invitation, then we will have our business meeting tonight. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, I told you that many different groups are being addressed in this chapter. So what we have to do is we have to identify, as Paul begins to address each group, who he's talking to, and understand that that instruction is for that group of people. Let me just give you the breakdown. In the first six verses, God is instructing Christians that are married. The husband's saved, the wife's saved, Christian marriages. In verse 8 and 9, Paul begins to address for those two verses the widows and or unmarried, those two groups, the widows and the unmarried. Verses 10 through 11, again, he addresses Christians who are married, husband saved, wife saved. In 12 through 16, he addresses someone who is saved but is married to a lost spouse, either a saved wife that's married to a lost husband, saved husband married to a lost wife, and the advice given there. In verse 17 through 24, I'm going to summarize it by just reading to you verse 24, because I think it summarizes that entire section. Brethren, let every man wherein he is called therein abide with God. And this is the principle where, you know what? Where God finds you is where you start. Where God finds you is where you start. And so there's a lot of folks that are saved later on in life. They're saved and they've gone through some things and changes, and they've maybe been, but you know what? Where you are when you're saved, that's where you start. You apply the scriptures where you're at, and you go on and always go forward. Go forward for the Lord. Now, in verses 25 through 28, he addresses what they call the virgins, and these have that are the younger that are not yet been married, but are marrying age, or maybe even past what the Bible would call the flower of their youth. Verse 29 through 35, Paul gives you the virtues of the celibate life. Now, let me just say this, because we're not going to spend a ton of time on this, but that does not discount the large body of Scripture that promotes and encourages marriage. I want you to understand, you can't go to any one part of the Bible and say, well, this is best. Proverbs says, he that findeth a wife findeth a, and obtaineth favor of the Lord. So, but at the same time, Paul does present a very interesting and very biblical view of the celibate life. And as I told you, for some, that is something that God gifts them to do. God blesses them in doing it, gives them the grace to do it. And because of that, in some areas, as we'll see, in some areas, there is increased blessing, increased opportunity because of what they can do in that calling. And so we'll hit that lightly. In verse 36 through 38, he addresses the fathers of unwed daughters. And I'm going to go ahead and mention this now, but you have to remember back in those days, there were arranged marriages. And this is instruction to the father as far as a daughter who is, again, past the flower of her youth. She's unmarried. What do? Do you give her in marriage? Do you not give her in marriage? And some instruction there. And then verse 39 through 40 to the widows. Again, he ends by talking to those who have lost their husband, lost their wife, and some final instruction. Now, having said all that, we're not going to try to reteach the entire chapter, but we do want to start in verse number 25 and cover that next section. Let me go ahead and teach real quickly from verse 25 down to verse 31. This portion of Scripture is giving some advice to, as far as marriage advice, to virgins and then to widows. So let's read that again, and I'll comment as we go down, okay? This advice is given, as we're going to see, and look for this phrase. This advice that he has given is in light of this present distress. And I'm going to explain to you what that is. Okay, verse 25. Now concerning virgins, I have no commandment of the Lord, yet I give my judgment as one that hath obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful. I suppose therefore that this is good for the present distress. I say that it is good for a man so to be. And he's recommending that they not marry at this time. That as someone who's single, you maybe ought to consider staying single. Now, he is not going to give a steadfast commandment. He's going to tell you if you marry, you have not sinned. It's not an adamant command, but most of us do not understand the depth of the persecution that was going on during Paul's writings as far as persecution to Christians. They were in this present distress. And it was so bad that Paul was literally saying to them, you ought to be very careful, you ought to understand what you're getting into, because of the level of persecution, if you can remain single at this time, it might be wise to do so. You've got to understand, God worked in a unique way in that first generation church. And there was a lot of men like Paul that laid aside what they could have had as far as a wife and a family and that type of a life, because God wanted the gospel spread. And because they were willing to do that, the gospel was spread in an unusual manner during this time. Also, the persecution that was involved. You remember, Paul is being let down out of cities in baskets to escape for his life. That's a lot faster to get away by yourself than if you have to wait for the wife to be handed down and the 12 kids. And so he was thinking, you know, I probably got a better chance of not getting my head cut off if I just... And so he mentions that at that point and gives advice as far as that. Now, then he goes on and says, Verse 27, art thou bound to a wife? Seek not to be loose. Art thou loose from a wife? Seek not a wife. Now, I want to just stop, and I do want to talk about that principle. Paul is saying, consider this. Now, he's going to say in verse 28, so I'm going to go ahead and finish it so that we got the whole crux of it. But, and if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. And if a virgin marry, she hath not sinned. Nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh. And what he meant, trouble in the flesh, was with the situation as it is right now, it is going to increase the possibility of you suffering persecution, and it's going to make it so that you have to consider more than yourself in what you will and won't do for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm just telling you what it says and how it reads. Now, he says this, art thou bound unto a wife? Seek not to be loosed. He didn't want somebody to get so gung-ho and say, reading this, he's right. That's exactly right. I could be so more effective if I'm single. Get out of here, woman. He didn't want anybody doing that. But he also said, if you are not bound to a wife, if you are not married, seek not a wife. Seek not a wife. Now, can I just give you guys some great advice here, even you young people? Here's something. Here's just something to think about. Why don't you just put that thing in God's hands? I think that piece of advice would work whether or not you end up married or whether or not you don't end up married. Why don't you stop trying to go and find God's will and just instead do God's will and let God's will find you? I mean it. I could take from some of you the biggest mental and emotional burden that you carry. I could take it off your shoulders if you'd let me do it. The happiest day of my single life was the day that I said, you know what? I'm not looking for a wife. I'm done. What I'm going to do is I'm going to find the will of God and head for it and trust God that if he wants me to be married somewhere along the path of his will, he'll bring the person in his time to me. Do you realize how liberating that is? Some of you young people are going to ruin your life. You know why? Because you won't wait on God. You're going to make it happen. You know, you see the young ladies, a couple of them that a while back was coming in with t-shirts that says, looking for Mr. Right Now. I can guarantee you, those girls, if they honestly have that attitude that was expressed on their shirts, they're going to be a mess. They're going to ruin their lives. I've taught this, and I'm not going to linger on it, but when God created Adam, he put him to sleep. And you know when he woke him up? He woke him up when he brought Eve. And some of you would be blessed in your heart and blessed in your life if you'd go to sleep on this thing and just let God. I'm not talking about you never think about it, never pray about it. I'm not talking about those things. I'm talking about you put it in the hands of Almighty God, find his will, and understand that a wife is given to help you to complete God's will. Head for God's will, God will supply the right person in your life. Young ladies, head for God's will, God will bring you to the right person in his time. Boy, preacher, thank you. That was such good advice. That is great advice. And I mean that. You have no idea the wisdom that you just heard. Please, please don't let those pearls that I just threw to you, don't treat them as if you're a swine. Don't treat them like that. The second most important decision of your life hangs in the balance. And so, good advice, okay? Now, that's what Paul says there, and he deals with this group of people. Let's pick it up in verse number 29. And this I say, brethren. Now, I want to just give you this because it's very interesting. And I want you to listen to what I have to say about verse 29 through 31 now. Let's read that section, and then let me comment on it again. Verse 29. But this I say, brethren, the time is short. Isn't it great? You know why Paul was such a great Christian and a great soul winner? He really believed that Christ was going to come back before his lifetime was over. Can I tell you this? I believe Christ is coming back before my lifetime is over. Now, I don't kind of think it. I really believe it. You say, Brother Jerry, can you guarantee it? No man knows the times of the season. I'm not going to set a date. But I'm telling you, I feel like Christ is that close to come. And if you live with that, and you really believe that, and you let that take a hold of your life, boy, I'll tell you, it'll push you forward in some areas that are good and wonderful and keep you right in some areas. But he says, but this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives, think about this, that both they that have wives be as though they had none. Now, he's going to give some comparisons down here when we talk about the virtues of celibacy and the freedom and the ability to do some things for the Lord and the focus that your life could have. He's saying, listen, folks, the time is so short. Please, wives, listen to what I'm going to say here. Please, husbands, listen to what I'm going to say here. You know what? If you as a wife want to, you can demand your the full attention and the full efforts and the full focus of your husband. But the Bible says the time is short. We cannot just live as if Christ is not coming back. There needs to be, even within married couples, some sacrificial decisions concerning schedule, concerning time, concerning effort in eternal things. Because the danger that's presented down in verse number 32, let me just go ahead and read some of this. But I would have you without carefulness, for he that is unmarried care for the things that belong to the Lord. That's the unmarried. And how he may please the Lord. But he that is married care for the things that are of the what? How he may please his wife. You know what? If you want to, you can demand that. And you know what? Pretty much you can make your husband do that. But God said, Paul's saying here in the scriptures, listen to me. There's a certain element in a Christian marriage where both partners have to understand that there is eternal things happening. And there's times, and I've got the most wonderful wife in the world, but there's times that I've had to construct our schedule and live our lives as if with such a strong focus on the things of the Lord that it was almost like I was living in the same decision process making as if I was single. I hope you understand what I'm saying, just in the focus of our lives. I don't think you can do that forever. I don't think you can do that all the time. But the Bible says, listen to me, if we're not careful, you get married, and the next thing you know, it's all about what you want and what you're going to have and where you're going to go and what you're going to buy and the next add-on to the house and the next accomplishment and the next vacation. And if you're not careful, you will just live as in the days of Noah, where they're marrying and giving in marriage, eat, drink, be merry, enjoy ourselves, live for pleasure, live our life, we're done, and we made no impact for the cause of Christ. Let me just say this. Wow. This was reinforced, and this was made so plain to me in the time I got to spend with the cooks today. This is terrible, but I may have to schedule for a revival meeting, Mrs. Cook. I'm fearful. The last thing I'll do is Pastor Blessed Hope Baptist Church. You'll vote me out. You should. But I'm tempted. Maybe we just have a ladies' revival meeting. I'm so glad our young ladies heard. I hope you young ladies understood what you heard. I hope you got what you heard. I'm going to tell you something. Selfishness is strangling out the work of God. Selfishness. Me, mine, what I want, what I want to do, what I don't have, what I'm mad about this week, strangling out the work of God to a point where a man can't focus on anything except a high-maintenance wife and high-maintenance children. What happened to a servant's heart? What happened to a family deciding corporately? I'm not saying you come in and dictate this man. I'm talking about as a family, you know, prayerfully consider. Yes, you know what? Listen, folks. Don't you think I would love every evening of my life to just go home and spend it with my wife? But there's a lot of evenings that I live as if I was single. You know why? Because Sheldon needs to be saved. Because Maxine Moore's grandkids need to be saved. And it's not just me sacrificing for her. It's her doing the same thing. She throws her life into the work of the Lord. And you know what we do? Every once in a while, we meet together and play husband and wife. I'm telling you the truth. But let me say this, folks. What a wonderful way to spend your life. I'll take that 1,000,000,000 times over. My wife will take that 1,000,000,000 times over than a selfish existence where we just enjoy each other's time, each other's company, and let the world go to hell. I don't believe that that's what the Bible's teaching here. And some people have taken, I'm going to say it out loud, you need to hear it. Some people have exalted the family above Almighty God. And I know the importance that the Word of God places on the family, but your family is not more important than the will of God. And at some point, you've got to decide that your family, part of the mission of your family, is to reach a lost and dying world. And you don't get to do that by having 7 game nights a week. Now let me say this, you know what, here we go, the pendulum swings here, if we're not careful the pendulum swing here, there's a balance to everything. I believe in family time, I believe in a family unit, I believe in husband-wife dating times, I believe in kids' time, but if we're not careful, we use that as an excuse and pretty soon we are making zero impact
for the cause of Christ. Well, I'm going to impact the world through my children. Yeah, by raising them to do the same thing that you're doing, and they won't make an impact either because they believe that's what you're supposed to do. What I'm saying is, let's find a balance here. Paul exalts this. I mean, you know what? I know God inspired this, but he used Paul to write it. And you know what? He used a man that had made this decision and defended it, that I could be married, but I'm not. You know why? Because there is so much that has to be done for the cause of Christ. And as much, you don't think Paul, did you read, you don't understand what the Bible says, shipwrecked, in distress, you know what, marooned, beaten. You don't think there was a few times he was in a prison where he said, man, I should have just got married, where I could be sitting at the by the fire right now. And I'm not saying everybody ought to live their life that way, but even those of us that are married ought to spend some of our life spending it that way. We ought to. And so that is the admonition that's given here. Now, if you don't believe it, then you can come to me later and explain this portion of Scripture. But this is what he said. And this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none, and they that weep as though they wept not, and they that rejoice as though they rejoice not, and they that buy as though they possess not, and they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away. Unusual sacrifices needed, even with those who are married, that we must not give ourselves to caring too much for the things that are of the world. Some decisions involved in serving God must be made as though they did not have a wife, as if that person did not have a wife. Now listen, this takes communication, consideration, common sense, and a common decision. But worldly comforts, sorrows, happiness, possessions, for the sake of the gospel, must often be laid aside. A husband and wife both agreeing to sacrifice these things for the sake of the gospel and impacting the world for Jesus Christ. Man, I hope you got that. This can only be done when our view of this world changes. Things and comforts are used to further God's plan and God's gospel, not abused by being consumed upon selfishness. And so take what I've said, take it home, meditate on it. Ask the Holy Spirit to give you insight and wisdom. I understand and I believe in balance. I think we ought to do both. But the time is short. If it was short when Paul wrote it, then it's really short right now. And we must, in our family units, be willing to sacrifice sometimes some things that we could enjoy as a family, because, you know what? We all have to be busy impacting the world for the cause of Christ. Okay? Now, look at verse 32, if you will. But I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried care for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. I read this. He that is married care for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. There's a difference also between a wife and a virgin. This is the portion of Scripture, I'm just going to read it to you, where Paul spends a little time extolling the virtues of the celibate life, the advantage of, oh, I feel so sorry for so-and-so, they never got married. Can I tell you something? They have some freedoms and some liberty and some possibilities in their Christian service that you will not have as a married person. Again, Paul's very good about saying, I'm not against marriage. I'm not saying it's wrong to marry. I'm just saying, sometimes, folks, we got to understand God does gift some people to live their life alone so that they can fully invest in the ministry and in the service of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't feel sorry for them. I think the honest truth is, I don't think I'd want to be standing behind them at the judgment seat when rewards are being passed out. Okay? The unmarried woman care for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy, both in body and spirit. But she that is married care for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. The honest truth is, the minute you get married, guess what? The responsibilities of this life, the care of that family, the responsibilities of caring for that home, the responsibilities of rearing children, wonderful things, great things. And for the vast majority of God's people, certainly the will of God. But Paul's just kind of hanging that out there and say, listen, folks, you know what? Every once in a while, God may just call someone to live the kind of life he's called me. Don't throw stones at him. Don't cluck your tongue at him. Don't feel sorry for him. You know what? In many ways, they'll have opportunities to impact the world like we will never impact the world, okay? But remember what I said. Even those of us that are married, the instruction says, from time to time, we ought to be willing to sacrifice the pleasures and the blessings and what we could have just to enjoy for ourselves, lay those things aside, and go make an impact somewhere for the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 35, for this I speak for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you. He said, listen, I'm not trying to trap you. I'm not trying to say that you're wrong if you get married, but for that which is comely, that you may attend upon the Lord without distraction. He said, for many of you, you'll be able to fully focus on your calling, and if this is the will of God, then accept it and embrace it and live it and to the fullness of it. Now, let me begin now, and we'll go down through here. Listen, this is not the clear advantage. The one Paul kind of presents here, I believe, the one clear advantage of the celibate life. And I think there's many advantages that we could spend time on in the for those that are married. And there are a lot of advantages there. But there is one clear advantage of the celibate life. Remember, this is not a condemnation of marriage, just a presented fact concerning one advantage of singleness. A single person can place far greater focus on the things that please the Lord. They are not as distracted by the effort and time it takes to maintain a marriage and rear children. And a single lady, verse 34 specifically mentions a lady, can focus the attention that would be consumed upon pleasing and obeying her husband, instead focusing that time, energy, obedience, caring for the things of the Lord. And he said, this is not taught to cast a snare upon you, to trap you into singleness, but rather a point for consideration. And so I've taught that, and I think that's good to hear. Now, verse 36 and 37, real quickly, some advice to fathers as to the giving of their unwed daughters in marriage. Now, you'll notice two things are presented. Verse 36 gives one side of the coin. Verse 37 gives the other side. And let me read it, and then we'll explain it. But if any man think that he behaveth himself uncomely towards his virgin, if she pass the flower of her age, and need so require, remember that little phrase there, it's important. Let him do what he will, he sinneth not, let them marry. Nevertheless, he that standeth steadfast in his heart, having no necessity, but hath power over his own will, and hath so decreed in his heart that he will keep his virgin, doeth well. Now, father, let's say that a father in a home, he's got a daughter, she passes the prime, what would be called the prime marrying ages, she's still not found somebody. He said, the question had come to Paul, is it wrong for him to give her to marriage? Is it wrong for her to keep her from marrying? And what this verse is basically saying to the fathers is, you must know your daughter. Because the Bible says in verse 36, the first side of the coin, let them marry, is and need so require. You know what, folks, listen to me. Some gals, some young ladies, they're going to get married. They're cut out for it. The idea of the living a celibate life, it isn't going to happen. And sometimes if you're not careful as a father and you decide that you're going to, and the Bible says be careful of forbidding to marry. That's one of the dark sins of the last day. He said, you need to understand who they are. You need to know your daughters well enough. If they so need require, you say, well, I'm not sure if this is the one, and maybe I better wait. Listen, that girl's going to get married. What you're going to do is fool around one of these days, and you're going to keep saying no to some very, maybe not perfect, but eligible mates, and then you know what? She's going to go marry. Just use wisdom. And then it says here, nevertheless, he that standeth steadfast in his heart. And again, notice this. Sometimes there's a young lady, and I think some of the dads was trying to marry off these daughters, and you know what? This gal was actually called and gifted with celibacy and the gift of celibacy. Because notice this, nevertheless, he that standeth steadfast in his heart, and these are the characteristic traits you look for. Young lady, can she stand steadfast in her heart? Having no necessity, having power over her own will, and hath so decreed in her heart, and I know I'm using her instead of the his, but it's just grammatically they're using that, that he will keep his virgin, doeth well. And you're going to, you know what? Sometimes you see it in a daughter that she has these strong character traits, and you know what? She's gifted. And here a father, you got to understand, the gals back in those, they didn't have much say to it. Sometimes the fathers were trying to marry off somebody whom God had gifted and wanted to use for his divine purposes as a single person. And he said, listen, just know your daughter. Get a sense of who she is. Some of them are not built not to be married. They are not constructed that way. They are not wired that way. Some of them can do it. And God may use them in that unique way. Now notice verse 38, the disclaimer. So then he that giveth her in marriage doeth well, but he that giveth her not in marriage doeth better. In other words, there's no right and wrong here, folks. He's just saying, be aware
of who you've raised and what they can or cannot handle, and be very careful. Be very careful. I won't go into that, but I think if you'll ask the Holy Spirit, apply it in your situation, it'll help you there, okay? Now, look at verse 39 and 40, and we'll finish it up. Now we're going back. The last two verses are advice to widows. And we know this because of the reading. And the wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth. But if her husband be dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will, only in the Lord. By the way, this would be true if it was a man and his wife passed away. They are at liberty to be married. If they have lost their husband, lost their wife, they're by themselves. They are at liberty to be married to whom she will. Notice this, that's not a blank check, only in the Lord. As long as they're a Christian, they are at liberty to be remarried. And then Paul again says, but she is happier if she so abide after my judgment, and I think also that I have the Spirit of God. And it really is amazing. I know I keep putting this on Paul, but is this divine scripture? One of the things that I think that we just, I don't know if it's our culture, I don't know if it's America, I don't know if what it is, but it's almost like we look at somebody that's not married or doesn't get remarried as if they've got some problem. No. Matter of fact, the scripture, I could go through and count it later on. How many times does he say, here's two options, there's no right, there's no wrong, but this would be better? And guess which one he always picks? You know, I think so many times we are so focused on what we want from somebody else, we sometimes are blind to what God might want from us. Okay? And so, but at the same time, let me say this. If somebody loses a spouse, God forbid in this church somebody loses a spouse, don't ever cast a stone at them if they get remarried. They have a perfect Bible reason, Bible liberty to be married. Did everybody agree with that? Shake your head. Now, are you going to agree about it? Agree on it when it's your mom and dad? Go ahead and keep shaking your head. Now, I mean it. Now, folks, listen to me. I know things are hard. I'm not downplaying anything. I'm saying this. Sometimes selfish children, okay, I said it, selfish children want to put their parents on a guilt trip. But you know what? It's funny. You're not the one living alone. Now, what I'm saying is this. I'm saying it to everybody, okay? And down the road throughout the history or the future, if God tarries of this church, many of us are going to be in that situation. Listen to me. Don't you do that. That's not fair. Okay? And so think about that. And that's fine. But the Bible says this. Then he kind of goes, and it's scripture. It's inspiration. Says, hey, but you know what? You might want to look at that thing. I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to say it. I have also seen the other side of the coin where I think some people just would not give God a chance. I've seen folks make poor decisions just out of loneliness where they would have been so much happier long term if they would have just given themselves wholly to God. Now I've also seen the other side of the coin where God directed and God put it. You know, we had in our chapel today, Brother Cook lost his wife to cancer. Mrs. Cook now lost her husband to cancer. Both of them lost their spouses. And you know what? God brought them two missionaries and brought them together, and they're serving and they're happy. And I promise you, if you spent the hour we did with them this afternoon, you would have had no doubt in your mind this was orchestrated of God. This was a blessing. It was the right thing. So, you know, sometimes that's the will of God. Sometimes it's not the will of God. You know what? Maybe we ought to just all pray if we ever find ourselves in that situation. Find the will of God and do it. And make sure it's the will of God. Okay? And so that's the instruction. Now let me finish up by running through the list here just real quickly. And it won't take but a minute or two, or maybe a minute or so. Listen, at the beginning I said we broke it down to these groups. Now, I'm going to summarize the advice of each of these groups. I'm going to summarize it. Okay? So understand, I'm not trying to reteach it. I'm just going to summarize it, one sentence statements. Chapter 7, 1 through 6, two Christians that are married, here's the advice. Stay married and loving. Stay married and loving. Verses 8 and 9, to the widows or unmarried, best to stay single, but if not, marry. That's the advice, summarized. Verses 10 and 11, two married Christians again, stay married. And by the way, if some unfortunate reason you don't, then remain unmarried. Verse 12 through 16, saved, married to a lost spouse, stay married and live such
as to win your spouse to Jesus Christ. Chapter 7, verse 17 through 24, it encourages us all to abide in the state, wherein you were called. Start where God found you and go forward. Okay, listen, look up here. I wish I'd get some of you to just throw away the guilt trip. Oh, I just wish. Okay, I know, we can wish our lives away, but you know what? You've got to go from where you're at today, and you've got to go forward. Okay, you've got to go forward. Don't let Satan ruin tomorrow and today and waste more time by spending it regretting something that you have no control over, or you can no longer, you know what, it's in the past. It's in the past. It's done. Wherever you are today, go forward. Just go forward. He says to the unmarried, he calls them the virgins, stay single or get married. Neither is wrong. He spends a little time extolling the virtue of a celibate life. He tells to the fathers of the unwed daughters, give her if she needs to marry. If she wishes not to and can handle it, it's not wrong to honor her wishes. To the widows, marry. If you found yourself as married, marry or stay single. Neither one is wrong. That's basically, in a short little version, the advice that's given in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time where we've been able to preach the Bible and teach it. Lord, I pray that you'd help us. And Lord, I know this was somewhat tedious and it took time, and Lord, it was rather deep, but I pray, Lord, that maybe this will help us to set some boundaries, some reset buttons in our thinking. It's just amazing where the culture's brought us. It just seems like marriage is no longer considered honorable. And Lord, things just, my goodness sakes, it's just every man's doing what's right in his own eyes. And Lord, we're ignoring the scriptures. And we wonder why we just become miserable, more miserable, more miserable, more miserable, more miserable. Help our young people just decide. They've got a great chance. They've got a clean slate. Help them decide. They're just going to obey the scriptures. They're going to wait for the perfect will of God. They're going to stand at an altar and say, till death do us part, and mean it with all their heart. They're going to live their lives for each other and for the Lord. And Lord, wherever else, Lord, a person may find themselves, help them to know that God still loves them and God still wants to use them from where they're at. And Lord, I pray, God, that this has been a help. Now, bless our short time of invitation, our business meeting that will follow. In Jesus' name I pray.